Welcome to the Wags of SCI podcast, where we discuss life, love, and caregiving after spinal cord injury, hosted by Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
Both of our partners are quadriplegics, and after connecting online in 2017, we began the advocacy and support group Wags of SCI, which is an acronym for Wives and Girlfriends of Spinal Cord Injury.
We know firsthand the challenges that come with living this lifestyle, and our mission is to spread education, awareness, and positivity from our unique perspectives.
Join us each week as we tackle deep discussions around balancing life as a caregiver and a lover to someone with a spinal cord injury.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Wags of SCI podcast. Here we go. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Wags of SCI podcast with your hosts, Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget. Today is our 100th episode. Wow, I can't believe that we've been doing it for 100 episodes already. Time has flown by, and we have not stopped talking about spinal cord injury and our lived experiences, and we will pretty well never run out of content, as this is something that we are both going through with our partners every single day. So we want to say thank you, first of all, for following along for 100 episodes. It has been a really great creative platform for us to be able to share with our community and be able to gain a whole heap of feedback from the women in this community who truly are the experts living this life alongside their partners. So thank you for that.
Thank you, everybody. We are so grateful, as Elena said, 100 episodes. Wow. We just wanted to give a big shout out to Robin Wishart of Wishart Brain and Spine Law, who has been our gold sponsor of the podcast since the very beginning of the podcast when we were nobodies. Just kidding. Robin has had our back and has been around for us since day one and has really trusted and acknowledged our community and has done so much for us behind the scenes. She is one of the main reasons why our personal cases have gotten to the level of the Human Rights Tribunal. For if you've listened to our previous episodes about our personal cases, about being paid as caregivers to our partners, where in a province, in a country where it's you're not paid for that kind of work. We are so close to having these laws changed, thanks to Robin. So thank you so, so much, Robin, for believing in us and for taking us seriously since the first day we were sitting at your office, and really, really believing in the Wags of SCI mission. So if you want to speak to Robin, she is our official advocate for the Wags of SCI community. And what she does is unparalleled. She works behind the scenes with couples and women just like us who are fighting the system and who are fighting spinal cord injury and who want to get the most out of their insurance and their healthcare. So if you want to talk to Robin, please visit brainandspinelaw.com. That's her website for her firm. Or you can visit wagsofsci.com and click on the legal resources tab where you can learn more about what Robin does for the community and how she can help you. Secondly, we wanted to thank a Wag of SCI herself, sponsor Annalisa Squires, and her husband John, who are the owners of Rolling in Paradise. They sell adapted equipment, and they also have believed in the Wags of SCI mission since quite long ago, I would say. Since season one, they've been tuning in and supporting us and our mission, and we love a good Wag-owned business, so we are happy to promote their services to our community. They are VA approved and they carry everything from hand cycles to anything really as far as adapted equipment. So if you want to get out there and get active and you want someone who knows this life inside and out, because they're living this life as well. Annalisa's partner is a quadriplegic of 30 years, John. So visit rollingandparadise.com and tell them the Wags of SCI sent you. So for today's episode, we're going to just highlight, you know, how we feel after 100 episodes and where we're going and what we're going to be pursuing. And we're also going to read some notes of appreciation for the community in hopes that it'll inspire you in your day-to-day life as you listen to the podcast. And hopefully it'll help you to know that, you know, we want to hear your voice as well. We want to hear your opinion of how this group has helped you or how it hasn't helped you. We're open to anything. We love the discourse. So please keep in mind that we are always there over DM, or we have our email, wagsofsci@gmail.com, where we would love your feedback. We would love your topic requests. And we just want to hear from you. So Elena, let's start with you. How do you feel 100 episodes in? Did you actually think we had enough to say to keep going for 100 episodes?
Oh man. I mean, it's actually very, it's kind of funny because today is our 100th episode. And today is the first day that Dan, my partner Dan, who's a C5-6 quadriplegic, began his career path as a therapist of recreation. So, you know, I sort of did some reflection this morning with my cup of coffee and couldn't help but get a bit choked up thinking about what happened to us 7 years ago with Dan's spinal cord injury and how far we've come. And not only, you know, for Dan, who has been working so hard to complete his education, but for us as WAGs of SCI, you and I, Brooke, and all that we've done in the last 7 years has been, it's extremely humbling. I had to bring out my tissues and just had a really surreal moment of like, wow. I think that when spinal cord injury first happens to you and it really shakes you to the bone, it really shakes your foundation and everything you believed in, flips your world upside down. It can be really hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, this is something that we hear from women in our group quite often is, you know, what does my life look like after spinal cord injury? And sometimes we focus on all the loss. You know, you lose your home, you lose some friends, you lose your ability to walk, clearly. You lose a lot. But I definitely had a really nice moment this morning thinking about all that we have gained through WAGs of SCI, through the last 100 episodes, the conversations we've been able to have with women in our communities as guest speakers. We've had sexual health clinicians. We have had advice from physicians. We have had some really great guests. We've learned so, so much, especially for an injury that does not come equipped with a whole heap of education and knowledge. And I truly believe that the women in this community are the experts. You know, they have been there. You and I began this group 100 episodes ago and beyond, you know, sort of in the hopes to create more education and awareness for ourselves, without really truly knowing the impact that this group has had on the lives of thousands and thousands of women. So truly grateful, extremely humbled to be able to do this work, to be able to provide so much comfort to women from across the globe. So
yeah,
thank you, Brooke, for being my partner in this. And we've been able to be, you know, not only WAGs of SCI friends, but also run a very, very important group together. So that's been really great.
Yeah, for sure. And thank you too. And I really like what you said about how the women in this group are the most valuable asset, because we just like to try and gather this information and be the voices for everybody in a coherent way. But we would literally be nothing if it wasn't for all of the women who contribute their endless knowledge and wisdom and just they're everything, right? We have people that are not WAGs of SCI and not in the community, like doctors and physicians and physiotherapists and occupational therapists. And we have a lot of students that email us and talk to us on almost weekly basis. And they say, mm-hmm. Oh, can you get us some more information on this? Like, we just don't have the knowledge. Can you ask your women? And it's so humbling because it's like, wow, we're just all ordinary women who are living this life. And I don't think that any of us understand the power that our perspectives and our voices and our experiences have for not only other women, but also people in the industry who need to learn more about spinal cord injury. Like that was one of my things that I've learned over the last 100 episodes is I didn't realize that we had so much knowledge, not just for each other, but for other people that are in this SCI world that want to learn more, that aren't necessarily a caregiver or someone with the injury, but they want to help, right?
Well, and it's been fascinating to also be able to be, you know, we're on the board of multiple caregiver studies and being able to contribute that research because of a group that we began, because of the information that we have pulled throughout the years of the needs of caregivers, things that we would have never come across, this information we would have never imagined to come across had we not had this information firsthand and truly had the desire to ask, to spend all this time asking women, what is it exactly that you need to feel supported on the very early stages of your partner sustains a spinal cord injury? What is it that you need? And I think that these are some very recent questions that have a heap of desire from people outside the community. People are starting to really ask these questions of, okay, you're a caregiver, and how do we continue making that role for you successful without burnout, without feeling like you're drowning? And truthfully, because relationships deserve a chance, especially when your partner becomes disabled or has, you know, limited physical abilities, that, you know, how do you continue this life with them? You know, there was a very large percentage of couples that break up after spinal cord injury. And I think, you know, we looked at that and we could see why. I mean, I can see why. There's a lot of stress that comes along with taking care of a loved one with a disability, especially when you don't have, let's say, insurance coverage, which a lot of the members in our community don't necessarily have. They don't have access to that, that it's like, okay, so let's get, you know, let's start from scratch. Let's go to the drawing board. How is it exactly that we can provide this endless support at the fingertips of our community from the comfort of their homes, right? So, man, it's just, yeah, I can't help but feel very emotional about it, because it's just like this work that we've been doing with what, $5 in our pocket at a coffee shop, right? That's how we all began. This is what we didn't have a mass organization funding us. We've never had that. And
I think it's really funny that people, because like we always talk about this behind the scenes, like people put us on the panels with the Reeve Foundation and with the Kessler Institute. And we're literally, we don't have a foundation. We're two girls that just are kind of doing our best to be a voice to caregivers and to WAGs and to SCI, you know, couples. Mm-hmm. And it's just like so hilarious, because like people, they ask for quotes. Like we get people from like newspapers asking us for commentary. And like, it's so funny, because we're just like, well, we're not anywhere close to the organization or the resources available to these other organizations, but okay, we'll be included. It's just really awesome to like be accepted into the community because of the hole that's there that hasn't really been filled until the WAGs of SCI all joined together and decided to that we wanted to be part of the community, right?
Right. You give power to a lot of voices that possibly would have not had the power to speak up, to say what they, you know, what they're needing, what the gaps that are missing are, really. And I mean, yeah, it's been great. I mean, we've read countless emails, DMs, private messages. We've read through so many posts on our private Facebook group of women seeking support. We've read so many answers. We've been able to come together with women from all walks of life, and really, it's just been very, very, very valuable for us as everybody continues to heal with spinal cord injury. And I know that, you know, the funny thing is I read over the past few months, I've read women saying that their husbands and boyfriends have either led them to WAGs of SEI, or they ask about WAGs of SEI themselves often, like, oh, what are the WAGs up to now? What are the women in the community saying about this? Because in all fairness, like, we've landed an emergency a few times ourselves, with Dan having AD symptoms or having discomfort in his body. And, you know, we get sent home with zero answers. Nobody has answers for us. But then we come home and we hop on the Facebook group, the private Facebook group, and it's endless amount of information that you can gather from women's experiences. And this is information that physicians simply don't have, because there is limited information, but also because it's not their lived experience and it's very textbook. So there's, you know, we're hopeful that this research continues to happen for the individuals living with spinal cord injuries, but it's been incredible to know that we are leading the caregiver portion of the group for really everybody worldwide. And I mean, our mission is to continue to spread this hope and this awareness to other women. Whether you are the caregiver of somebody with spinal cord injury or not, everybody deserves that sort of virtual hug from afar, saying, you know, you got this, you're going to be okay, everything's going to be okay. So tying that back to Dan's first day as a therapist of recreation, it really just had that kind of epiphany this morning, like, oh my God, it's going to be okay. And I think for anybody listening who needs a bit of, you know, that push towards the right direction, that things do get better. Things will get better. You'll take a few steps back and you will take a few steps forward, and you might take some more back and you take some more forward. And that's just the ebbs and flows of life in general. So
yeah,
it's quite surreal, isn't it? So getting back to our topic today, you had posted a really great quote. You had posted a really great quote on Facebook, and would you like to share that quote? And then we can sort of banter back and forth about some of the answers from other women and some of their advice that they were very kindly willing to give other women in the community.
So I think that this quote is so special because like I said earlier in the podcast, I don't think WAGs of SEI really understand how important and how valuable their lives and perspectives and opinions are, especially since historically and in the past, I mean, we're trying to change this, right? This is one of our missions, to change how caregivers are viewed in the SEI community, you know, because we had both the same experiences where we were kind of shafted aside. And if you've listened to earlier podcasts, you know all about our experiences at rehab, where we were just kind of pushed aside and ignored. And there was no room in the rehab curriculum for us. And we were just kind of like alone, right? There was nothing for us. And meanwhile, we had such a huge role to play in our partner's recovery and in our partner's life. And so I think with the way that the community is, you know, in the Western medical system, especially when your partner gets freshly injured, you kind of get groomed to think that you're not really that important, right? And sometimes we call it the paralysis bubble, where even our partners can sometimes get into that bubble where they think that, you know, they get a bit self-centered. And of course, it's understandable when you're that injured, right? You kind of start getting in that bubble of like, my needs, my needs, my needs, and our needs, you know, are ignored. But it's still so important to make sure that that changes, right? Because our needs are important. We're human beings and we have a huge role to play in this community, and our voices really do matter. And so I found this quote that I thought I would share because for the 100th episode, because this kind of outlines why it's important for us to care about being involved and about speaking out. So this is the quote: "Your heartache is someone else's hope. If you make it through, somebody else is going to make it through. Tell your story." So I thought that was really powerful, because a lot of the time people don't want to tell their stories, right? They don't think it does make a difference, right? We didn't at first.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when you feel like nobody understands, or maybe you don't want to seem like you're complaining, or, you know, that kind of sort of, I mean, it's very easy to give fire to when you're feeling like, oh my God, my life is really having a hard time or it's going in a different direction. And I wish, you know, sort of like comparison is a thief of joy. And you start seeing all the posts and things on social media about what everybody else is doing. It's really easy to fall into that, especially when you have a brand new injury. But I love what you say here. It's almost like the quote, it reminds me of, one day your story is going to change the lives of people you will never meet. And I love that because it's true. How many times have we posted a couple's feature on our page and other women chime in being like, oh my God, I needed to see that today. You know,
or however small or however insignificant you think it is, it could be someone's life-changing story. It could be someone's comfort that changes things for them. So it doesn't really matter what it is. If you share your experience and you share your story, it is so powerful. And that's how change is created, right?
It is. And you'll also, like, I find that even when I share our story, let's say, for example, when you share it with a community of people that not necessarily, like, just a quick example, yesterday I was at Pottery and I sort of was sharing some of the work that you and I do for advocacy for caregivers. And then another woman chimed in and said, oh, I have a story about this too, regarding my father who had a stroke. And then another woman chimed in. And then before you know it, it's like a ripple effect. And you realize that you're actually not that far removed from the person sitting next to you who is most likely going to be going through something similar. You know, everybody's going to need a caregiver or be a caregiver. And we say that all the time. So to sort of to keep that perspective in mind that we're all connected, we really are. And just kind of spreading love as we go. So the first comment here that we have on the page is, I hardly ever post because I am so overwhelmed with SCI life. My husband has been injured just over a year, and this group helps me so much. I search constantly for different information, and there is always a post about what I need to know. Everyone is so honest with their information and emotions. It helps me to know I am not alone in this difficult spinal cord injury life.
That's a good one. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's basically sort of, you know, that's echoing what we had already just said, which is we feel the same way. Yeah. We really do.
Yeah. So here's another one. When we're just going to read a few just because, you know, this is anonymous, but these women shared some really great comments. So the next one says, when I started dating my boyfriend, who is a C6 quad, I was so excited about him, but had so many question marks in my head about beginning a relationship where SCI is a factor. He was totally open and fine with me asking anything, but I didn't even know what to ask. And I also had some complex feelings I hadn't experienced before that I didn't think he would relate to. Finding this community in the very first days of dating him was so helpful. I listened to the podcast, scrolled and read and absorbed all the topics, information, and was so glad to see that others had shared the unique and complex feelings I had. It really put me at ease and made me optimistic at the beginning of our relationship. Now my boyfriend asks for updates of what's been happening with the ladies. Thank you for building this group of remarkable women.
Yeah, there you go. And we hear that quite often. It's really, really sweet. So another one we have here, it says, it's such a supportive community. This group understands the daily challenges we face. I appreciate the suggestions and emotional support I've received when needed. Yep.
This is another good one. I tell others I'm not a joiner, but I'm glad to have my WEGs. It started with me learning and receiving support to me now being able to educate and inspire others. And, you know, I love that comment because when you educate yourself and you go through healing, mental and emotional health wise, they always say, and I just mean they, is like the consensus is in the psychological health community is, you know, you're starting to heal when you feel like you can help others without feeling overwhelmed yourself, right? And so that was so cool about that comment, because I'm like, wow, to see the progression with someone like her from coming in the group and receiving support, maybe being in a little bit of a survival mode state, you know, you're just starting this life, your head is underwater all the time, you can't focus, and you don't have the capacity to help and support others. But then as you move through your healing journey, you can really see that, you know, you start to participate more. You know, you start to like comment more, you start to post more, you start to help others. And it's like, it's a healing tool, because everybody feels worthy and helpful when they're helping and serving others. And so, although it is only online, I still think it's huge as being a tool of healing when you can help and support others and comment. And you can also navigate your own feelings and what triggers me, what doesn't trigger me, what makes me feel weird. Should I take a break from social media because I feel triggered and I need to do some more healing? Like, it's such a powerful tool if you allow it to be a transformative, powerful tool. So I really like that perspective.
And it's also using social media for the good. There is a lot. Right. I mean, we see a lot of garbage on here all the time. Like I said, comparison is a thief of joy. And sometimes it's really easy to get sucked into that. Yeah. But I had this comment. Actually, I think somebody wrote into us on our DMs in our Wags of SEI Instagram page. And it was, I found the Wags Facebook group about a week after his accident. I started obsessively looking for resources and people that can relate. And Wags is where I ended up. The only place where people say, I understand, and that it's actually true. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of how we began the group was, I've shared this multiple times publicly, when Dan first had his accident and leaving him at the hospital, I was staying at my aunt's unit, vacant unit, while they were out of town, which we were so fortunate to be able to have. And I remember coming home after the first couple days, you know, it was so strange trying to sleep by myself in silence, because you get so used to all the beeping, all the chaos in ICU and all the doctors and nurses running around. And every time you fall asleep in your chair, you're woken up to another visit, right? It's very consistent. It just doesn't stop. And I remember trying to go home and trying to sleep, and not really being able to sleep, but staying up all night looking up on Google. My partner just had a spinal cord injury. Now what? And that was the reality, was that there was very limited information. I think I came across Dana Ryder, who was probably the first, she's my OG WAG. And I remember seeing her articles and things that she had written about her life with spinal cord injury alongside her husband his spinal cord injury, and just seeing the different things that they were able to do. Like, I needed to see that. I needed to witness that for myself, that he was doing chores, like putting pillowcases on pillows, and he's a quadriplegic. I needed to see them going on travels. I needed to read the words from a woman who was really deep into this and who really understood, because it's so hard to see it at first. You sort of, you know, you get sucked into such a medical model of urgency. And it is urgent, because your partner just sustained a spinal cord injury. That is quite urgent. You're needing to stabilize. And the secondary conditions that come along with that are quite urgent. You have to act quickly. And there is a lot of panic around that. There, you know, that is the reality. So just to be able to see somebody who had a successful, in my eyes, successful take on life after years and years of riding this crazy wave with their partner was just like, oh my God, okay, we got this. I think it's going to be okay. But even then, that was really the only resource that I came across. So thank you for this group, and thanks to this group of women who have posted multiple shares and stories and articles and videos. And now we're seeing a lot more information on sexual health, on beginning a family, on IVF journeys, on travel, on medical equipment, on different insurance policies. You know, we're really starting to dig deep into, okay, this is going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that's powerful.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, we're just really, really grateful over here. And we're always looking for new voices and new insights. So if you want to participate at all in the podcast on this platform, if you want more information, please email us anytime. We also want to encourage all of you, you know, in celebration of this 100th episode, that one of the main reasons that we stick to this and we continue to release episodes each week and we're consistent is we know that these podcasts will be resources for online forever, we hope, on our website for sure, right? No matter what platforms come and go, we will have these episodes as resources for everyone. And it'll be for years to come. And we want to keep them coming. And we know how important it is to like have your friends talking about your life, even if you've never met, over a podcast, right? And the comfort that that brings to a lot of people around the world and the connection that that brings to people, no matter where they are. Language is a beautiful thing, and we just want to encourage everyone to go through to season one and take a look at all our offerings. We have some amazing episodes that the ones that are, you know, the people that are just tuning in now might not have listened to. So we have just some really insight. We had the Anxiety MD on, we had Eve Rodsky on, who is a New York Times bestselling author. We have so many interviews with other normal WEGs of SEI, just like yourself, who have so much to share and so much insight, and you get to know them on a personal level. Some of them are like 2.5 hours long. So please scroll back into season one and season two and take a look at everything that we have to offer, because they're all so relevant, even today. And, you know, considering we started our podcast a couple of months before the pandemic started, we've come a long way. We've come a long way as far as perspectives from, you know, not really knowing what was happening in the world to now reflecting on that. Follow our journey. Take a listen. Share them with your friends and family. A lot of our episodes have been recorded specifically for friends and family, or, you know, even men in wheelchairs who want more insights into this life. We specifically cater them to those types of people as well, so that all the people who want to be informed about this life and who want to understand and educate themselves can be. So we hope you enjoy listening as much as we enjoy providing this content for you. And we hope that you keep tuning in, and we hope that you keep supporting this mission. And we will keep updating you on all of our travels and journeys and insights in this crazy life. And we are thankful that you're here alongside with us.
Absolutely. So until next time, take care of yourselves and love one another.
Cheers.